Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today is an amazing show. We are all about learning this year. And, you know, this is an internet radio show, and I personally am crazy about the internet. It's where I love to be, love to play. It's the, you know, it just always still fascinates me the way that we can, you know, meet people, build connections, you know, have a community of quilters, and all you have to do is touch a few keys, and there everybody is. So all the people on my show today are, we're going to talk about learning via methods other than sitting in a classroom. And so, you know, that's pretty exciting because there's lots of different ways. And my first guest is Michelle Foster. And she is, you know, I call it a kindred spirit because, you know, we both love the internet so much. And it's how we met. And Michelle is the founder of the quilting site Quilting Gallery. So that's where there's like all kinds of things about bloggers, all kinds of fun stuff. And she's going to tell us all about site and what's going on there lately. So, hi, Michelle. It's so good to hear you.
Hi, Pat. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Excellent.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Oh, good, good, good. So, you know, Quilting Gallery, just tell people like sort of a brief little overview of what you have going on at your website, because there's a lot going on there.
There is. There's lots of fun things. I guess the most popular part of the site is the Quilting Bloggers Directory.
Yay.
That was started back in 2009 in, I think, May-ish. And we have just over 5,800 members that are listed there from 79 different countries.
And it's free to list.
Absolutely, yes. Anyone that does a quilting blog can link up and they're on there. You can search for them by province or state or by country.
Oh, it's amazing. I just love that part because, you know, if you're looking for inspiration or just, you know, want to see how people blog, there's so much variety.
Absolutely. It's really nice to be able to see what other quilters are doing in other parts of the world as well.
You know, this show, I sent all of my guests, you know, a little question because I thought it'd be fun that we all answer sort of the same one question about learning. And, you know, so what are your thoughts, Michelle, on, you know, how people nowadays are learning online? Because it's sort of changed, you know, from how we learned in a traditional classroom. There's so much available. What do you see going on over the past few years with tutorials and videos and such?
It's just that there are just so many tutorials out there and videos and people sharing. Mm-hmm. It's just phenomenal. I just put together a list of 48, I think it was, projects starting up in January. That's just blows my mind away. Now, these are free block of the months or block of the weeks or challenges, mm-hmm. things that people are hosting on their own blog mm-hmm. and invite their fellow readers to join in the fun. It's just incredible. And the video world of quilting has exploded. There are so many resources on YouTube. The other day I was trying to figure out how to thread my needle threader that I bought from Clover.
Yeah.
Video right there online showing me how to do it. It's just amazing what you can find.
Now, the list you put out there is just amazing.
Thank you.
It's just you worked so hard, I mean, to put out something that detailed and all the links, and you've got pictures of, so people sort of know what they're going to. They can just sort of scan down. You did a fabulous job, Michelle.
Thank you. And since I posted that yesterday, I've come across another 8 projects today. And I'm like, okay, just go add the links on the bottom of the post. There's just so many quilters out there that are just so willing to share, and they want to build up their readership, and they want to make friends with other quilters, like-minded kindred spirits, mm-hmm. who want to join them in their quilting projects or quilting endeavors and walk along their journey with them.
You know, what's really fascinating about your site, quiltinggallery.com, is that people have certain likes, you know, they like to quilt a certain type of quilt or certain color families or certain style, and you have everything out there, so they can search around, can't they?
Exactly. I'm not, I wouldn't put myself in a niche. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not all about applique, I'm not all about paper piecing. I really try to be about everything. So you will find applique or piecing or a lot of modern stuff that's, I'm sort of following a lot more modern bloggers out there, so that's starting to appear more on my site. Mm-hmm. I try to touch a little piece of everything.
And there's also, all the traditional stuff and everything sort of in between, things that look traditional but are using bright fabrics, that give you that same, give you like a different look.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. I'm just going through here and there is something called, this is crazy, people, dress up your roll. Is this like a toilet
paper? I know, isn't that great?
Oh my gosh. What is that one? You have to make a little outfit.
Oh, I have to remember what it was.
Yeah.
It's Quilt Jane over on Twitter there. She sent me the information. I know Orifil is sponsoring the contest.
Oh.
Dress up your roll competition.
Yeah, I think you have to maybe make a little toilet paper holder or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah, there's a picture. You can go to Michelle's site and click over. It's hysterical. That's Quilters do want to have fun, don't they, Michelle?
Oh, for sure. That's what it's all about. If you're not having fun, don't do it.
Right, because it's our hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, it
cool.
might be a business for some of us.
Right.
But really, at the end of the day, it's a hobby for me.
Yeah. I know. I quilt for fun, even though I quilt for work. It's all rolled into one big happy ball of fabric, usually. So tell me... you and I, let's talk about, we have a special thing we're going to do together.
I know.
I know. Michelle and I have known each other for a long time, and we've been trying to think of something to work on together. And we just, we've been bouncing ideas around, and so we finally figured out something. So tell them about the new section, or however you want to call it, at your site.
Well, it's going to be called the Learning Center.
Yay.
And as you know, you'll be hosting it.
Yes.
So twice a week, I think we've settled on Tuesdays and Thursdays, there will be blog posts in the Learning Center. And some of them will be advice from Pat. But really, it's all about the quilters out there. It's all about what other people want to send to us. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of reading through my notes here, skimming my notes of what we were working on. But we're going to have guests. We're going to have Q&A sessions. We'll have...
Like
meet
link
your
parties. And
sorry, what was that?
Link parties. We'll be able to link
parties.
Up to your blogs. And it's really
so
good.
It's really exciting. So our first month is February, where we'll kick things off, and we're going to be doing project storage and organization.
Yes, yes.
You go ahead, Pat. That's your baby.
Yeah, I mean... storage and organization, you just cannot learn enough. You can go, and we want to go out and showcase what everybody's been doing. You can go even, to American Patchwork and Quilting's website, and you could type in storage or organization into the search box at allpeoplequilt.com, and you will find some things. And what we're going to be doing is telling you about those types of places to look, and then interviewing people or having people share stuff, and then hopefully getting people's questions about what they want to know.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. So if somebody's new to your site, Michelle, how would they best sort of approach it? Because you have a lot of information. What would be the first place they might go, and what might be out there that they may not realize is there?
Well, I would start on the homepage, because on there is going to be the latest blog posts. Mm-hmm. It features, I'm sorry, can you hear the puppy?
Yeah, there he
goes. He woke up. So Milo says hi to the quilting world.
yes, Milo is adorable. You have to follow Michelle's blog. You'll see him. He is so cute.
Okay, so we have on the homepage, I try to link to all of the important sections within the website. Mm-hmm. So the quilting blog, quilting gallery blog, we've got the quilt shop locator where you can find quilt shops throughout the world, quilters marketplace, quilt guild directory, which is, again, guilds all over the world.
Oh, great.
And the quilting bloggers directory. Mm-hmm. I also try to link up special events that are happening. Like throughout the year, I run a weekly quilt contest. So you'll find the links to that right on the front page. I've got some new things, which I'm just wrapping up all the final details on right now, and those will also be on the homepage. So I have a swap starting later this week, and the link to that swap will be right there, right front and center, so people can click on it and get all the information that they need.
Ooh, so tell me about the swap. That's pretty, I've done those in the past. They're a lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of new friends.
Yeah, you do. This will actually, I think, my 12th swap that I've organized on the Quilting Gallery site.
Okay.
We're going to do a mini quilt, and it's an open-ended swap, so you can the designer or the quilt maker can decide what they want to make. So it has to fit within the parameters of a mini quilt. So it's going to be no bigger than 24 inches and no smaller than it's probably 15 or 16. I'll have to decide. And the theme is New Beginnings. So yeah, I love doing these open-ended swaps where the quilter can just decide how they want to do it. When somebody registers for one of my swaps, they can include something like preferences, like color preferences or whatever, or, you know, I hate purple or please no black and white or something that. So then it would be up to the quilter who gets their name to decide what to make for them.
And it does help to give those suggestions on the swap, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It really does, because it's such an open-ended theme, and it's not a one-to-one swap, so I wouldn't be swapping with you, and you wouldn't be swapping with me. I would be swapping with Jill, and you might be swapping with Tammy, and, you know, Jill might be sending to Tammy, that sort of thing. The person you send to isn't the same person you receive from.
Ah, so that's even more important because you're sort of like a mystery, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes, you wouldn't know. You won't know who you're getting your package from until it arrives.
Yee. Those are really fun. If people haven't done them before, and you know, Michelle's very experienced at this, and it's always good on the first one to, I think, work with an experienced leader.
I think so too. It's helpful.
Yeah, because if you just go with somebody doing it for the first time, not that it can't be wonderful, but if you're a little nervous, you know, to do one. Go with people who have hosted them before. So, this is so good. I am just like so excited about the new learning center. We're going to have so much fun, Michelle.
I know. I'm just going over all of our notes and it's like, oh my goodness, how did we end up with 15 pages of notes already?
Yeah. You people better have questions for us. Yes, yeah, we're going to be getting to them. So, Michelle, give your website again. So we're almost done. Imagine.
Okay, it's quiltinggallery.com.
That's it, folks. It's so easy to find. She has a blog, so you can bookmark the blog or you can put it in your reader so that you always get the notices.
Or you can subscribe to my newsletter.
Yep. Oh, that's right. You have Matt. Oh, yeah. You have a great newsletter.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle, for being here. We appreciate it.
Okay. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and continuing on with my internet theme for today and what's out there for quilters to learn from. I am really excited to have the quilting editor for craftgossip.com here today. And if you have not been to craftgossip.com and subscribe to their newsletter, it's just amazing, amazing fun. And so Scarlett Burrows is here, and she is the one who curates the quilting stuff out there, and she's going to tell us all about it. Hi, Scarlett.
Hi, Pat.
I'm so glad
you're
here.
Thanks for
having me. Yes, yes. I just love craft gossip, you know. That's why you're here, because I just think you do such a fabulous job.
Well, thank you.
Can you just tell people who may not have found your site yet what it is that you do, like the site in general, just briefly, and then what you do for the quilting section of the site?
Okay. Craft Gossip is a mega craft blog. Well, it's devoted to getting news out about what bloggers are making and the events they're hosting. We cover book reviews and new products, and we try to stay on top of the trends.
And
I'm one of the 20 sub-blog editors, and I cover, you know, who cover a specific area like edible crafts and bath and body. Needlework, and I'm the quilting editor, as you said.
And quilters do a lot of different crafts, don't they?
Well, yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do needlework. I embroidery. And I am learning to sew.
Well, you sew if you're a quilter, you know.
Well, you know, it is. Technically, quilting is a subcategory of sewing.
Because if you can do one, you can do the other.
That's true. You just have to keep that quarter inch, or is it the 5/8 inch? That can get me messed up every time when I'm going between them.
Oh, yeah. Flipping between those is no good.
Well, not if you need to take something out and you've used a 1/4 seam allowance.
That's right. Now, how did you end up being the editor here? That's, you know, it's fascinating. It's sort of like a dream job. You get to look at quilting stuff all day.
It is a dream job. It truly is. It was advertised. I didn't hear about it from there. I'm actually a good friend of the needlework editor, and she told me about it.
Oh, good. Yeah. So she said you would love it.
Yeah, she recommended me.
Cool.
Sure
now,
is.
My question, Scarlett, I'm sort of asking everybody is, you know, talking about learning from the internet, because, you know, a traditional classroom environment doesn't work for everybody for many varieties of reasons. You know, some of us just only have time at, you know, 11 o'clock at night to go online and learn something. So how do you see in the past few years that you've been doing this, the change of people learning via online? I mean, and have you learned a lot by doing that yourself?
I actually have. I really have. In fact, I really was just a one-note crafter for years and years. I really, truly only quilted. And since I started covering quilting at Craft Gossip 3 years in April, I feel like I've blossomed. I really do. I'm totally blog taught when it comes to sewing garments.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I really am.
So you also using videos yourself, or do you tend to like to read more like through a picture tutorial or something? Because there's many options.
I like tutorials, but I also like videos.
You do.
In fact, I just did a pillow for my mom for Christmas, and I did an envelope pillow. And I went to Crafty Gemini for that.
Ah, well, and I've had her on the show.
She's one of my favorites. I mean, I tend to go with the word, though, written word, because I am a writer, and I kind of that's kind of how my mind thinks. But also, it's nice to have a visual. I mean, a moving visual.
Right. And some things actually are easier if you can see somebody do it, which is why a classroom environment is so nice, because people can have the teacher show them and actually hands-on. But the videos give you almost the same sense, don't they?
They do. They truly do. Now, there's a place for you know, face-to-face quilting, learning, you know, sewing and quilting in a group.
There is.
Because
there
you do
is.
Learn a lot. But we can't all do that. We can't all afford it.
No, and it just doesn't happen because of busy lives or just the way, you know, our work habits are. I like the fact that your newsletter for Craft Gossip, I mean, is I like the way that it comes. It's every day, isn't it?
Or it does. It sure does.
It has
the last 24 hours of news, whatever every sub-blog editor has covered.
And people can go out to craftgossip.com, and there's a send us the gossip tab.
There is.
Yes.
Right there
like
on the
that.
Main page.
Yeah.
And you'll get one a day. And it'll have however many. You know, we are all required to do 5 a week. But I do far more than that.
you're a good editor.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try really hard to just stay on top of what's going on, and you know, I truly enjoy it, Pat. I mean, I'm nosy. I love seeing what people are doing. It's inspirational.
Oh, I agree. And I can really tell from your writing, Scarlett, that you do love it. I mean, because you give a little, and then sometimes you are like jumping right in yourself to do a project, because you had one you were telling me about with some houses that you're thinking of doing.
I am. I the danger of what I do is I come across so many that I'm just saturated, and so I have really hesitated to join anything. But this year, I am. I'm joining the Tiny Houses Quilt Along, and it's the blogger's Danish, and so I guess I'll have to turn on my my translator. But
those translators
a lot of times,
work
honestly,
well.
I will go to sites, and I don't have if they show pictures. Mm-hmm. I don't really have to know what they're saying. I kind of get it from the pictures. That's just, you know, it's just wonderful. It's what I love about the online community.
I agree that you know, the people who put the photos out and the step-by-steps, I can look at the Japanese bloggers or the European bloggers, and it doesn't matter. You get it.
That's right. We all speak sewing and quilting.
Yeah.
Or whatever craft it is, but yeah, no translation needed many times. It's just fun. It really is.
And I think that the variety is just immense. And you cover that, just like Michelle does for her system. You know, you cover a wide variety so that you can find what interests you.
I try to cover it all. I sure do.
Now, tell me about this memory quilt that you personally did for your brother.
Well, it's actually my favorite of all time projects because it was so personal. And I tried to make every block a memory, something that would evoke a memory in him. And so, like, our family had a duck camp growing up. I actually have gone duck hunting. And so one block has ducks coming in, and then the tone of it is, it's like dusky dark. It's like sundown, or it could be sunrise. So, because if you're going to be a duck hunting, you're going to be out during those times. Definitely sunrise. So that's one of them. And then another, I used the colors that my grandmother had in her bathroom. It's green and blue. And he instantly got it. He told me. He knew.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I just think that's amazing because you're interpreting, but your family's memories, and he's getting everything about it. That is so neat.
And I even signed one block, Pat.
Oh.
I put a dragonfly in one of them because, and he got that too. My nickname growing up was Skeeter, which is short for Mosquito Hawk.
Oh, jeez.
Which is a dragonfly.
Uh-huh.
So I signed it. That's how I signed it, one of the blocks. And he just says he smiles. He just laughs when he sees that. You know, it's just cute. And he's also, one of the blocks is a cross because he's a pastor in Nashville, Tennessee. And then another has an applique circle in it out of lawn fabric because he spent a summer in India and he saw tigers there. And, you know, he's very well traveled, and so it also represents the world. He's our little world traveler in my family, so.
You know, Scarlett, that kind of a quilt is just you know, so personal. Did you go out and like do research on how to do those things, or did it just sort of come from your heart?
It came from my heart.
Yeah. Oh my.
It did. I just decided that's what I wanted to do, and it took me a long time. You just cannot rush the creative process.
Yeah, this is true.
I'll give you an example. My daughter's, let's see, a sweet 16 quilt turned into an 18 coming of age quilt.
I think that happens to many of us. That's.
I'm just saying, you know.
Well, at least it wasn't baby quilt that turned into a coming of age quilt, you know.
No, she did get her. Well, I didn't start until she was about, two or three. So that one didn't take me. She got that one within the year. I'm happy to report.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm just really glad. Now, you also blog on your personal blog. What is that blog site?
It is Cut Up Craft.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I haven't had it up too long. I believe I started it in October.
Okay.
Because really and truly, I just want to, you know, talk about what I want to talk about and get a little bit more personal about my projects. So
yeah. And that's what they're all about, the blogs, aren't they? So
they really are. They truly are.
Because your business job that you do for Craft Gossip, you know, that's finding and sharing what other people are doing. But, you know, even though your personality comes out, having your own blog now gives you a chance to share if you're going to do the tiny houses or your brother's quilt. That's great.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Now,
it's just fun.
If people haven't been to Craft Gossip before, what's the first thing they should do when they're there? What would help them get the most out of the site?
Well, I would have them go to the left-hand side where there's a category list, and it will have each category that we cover. And, you know, I would just go to what particular thing I was interested in. If it's, you know, jewelry making, you could go there.
Cool.
We have a lesson plans editor, and she does all kinds of things. It would be that school teachers might like.
Good. Well, Scarlett, this has been just awesome. I thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you for having me, Pat.
We'll see you online.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're still here on our journey along talking about learning. And I have back on the show again our machine quilting expert, Kim Bruner, who is, you know, just a wealth of information. And every time Kim comes on, we learn an incredible amount of stuff. So, hi, Kim. How are you?
Hey, Pat. It's nice to talk to you again. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm doing great. You know, we always want to talk about machine quilting with you because you, you know, I don't think we could ever get all the information out of you.
Well, I am sort of like a great big sponge, and I hold on to a lot of information, don't I?
You do. And, you know, every time you come on, we, like, learn something new. So this is – I'm just really appreciate you coming back on the show.
Oh, I'm glad to do it.
Now, this show, we're talking about learning and learning via a mechanism that's not in a traditional classroom setting. And you do a lot of traditional classroom teaching, but you also teach via video. So I thought it'd be really fun to explain and talk about video learning with you. Now, let's see, this just talk about first what, you know, your own personal videos, you know, we can just talk about it from that standpoint. What is each one designed like, or what is sort of the concept of your set of videos? Of course, they're all for machine quilting, but do they have topics? Are they like, do we watch them in series? You know, how do you work with your videos?
I have two videos so far. I'm working on my third. The first two are not tied together. They're both freestanding videos, so you don't need to watch one to be able to watch the other. Okay. The first one is dedicated to beginning machine quilters, kind of teaching them everything that I wish that I had known in the first year or two that I was quilting. The second one is more specific. It's about the type of feather work that I do. I'm known for very intricate feathers on my quilts, and so the second one teaches you how to do those feathers. And the way that they came about was, with my first DVD, I had a class called Machine Quilting for Beginners. I had taught it everywhere, here, there, and everywhere. I taught it over and over again. And I was to the point where it was very, I don't want to say boring, but it just wasn't fun for me to teach anymore because I knew what I was going to say 10 minutes before it came out of my mouth.
Yeah. Right.
And I didn't want to stop teaching it, because every time I would teach it at a show, it would sell out. It would be full of students. So clearly people were really soaking up the information that I was sharing in the class. So I didn't want to withdraw that information and never teach it again. I just wanted to find a way to get out of having to teach it every year at every show. So I decided that I would put it on a video. That way people could buy it and learn everything that they would have learned in the class, but I would no longer have to teach it again. And it took a little bit of work. It's, you know, people think that when you do a DVD, you just, you know, you show up and somebody has a video camera and ta-da, it's done 2 hours later.
Right.
And it really is a lot more involved than that. And I was quite surprised to find out how much work really goes into putting together a good DVD.
Now, did you actually produce these yourself, or they produced by somebody else?
I produced them myself, but I did hire a videographer both times. He's a guy who does a lot of work. He does work on a lot of TV shows. He does all of my filming. He does my editing, my music transitions. He does all of the authoring of the DVD. And then we send it to a replicator out in California who, it's the same replication company that, you know, if you and your kids rent the Transformers movie or whatever and sit down in your living room to watch that, we're working with the same replication company that does those movie-style DVDs. And the reason that I went with something like that was because I wanted it to be really high quality. I had worked several years for a magazine doing DVD reviews, and I had seen enough other people's DVDs to know what I wanted and what I didn't want. And I wanted something that was very slick, really crystal clear video quality and excellent sound quality, so you could see and hear what I was talking about. And I wanted my DVDs to be able to play on both TVs and computers without any glitches or hitches. So we just decided that, you know, we would work with somebody who really knew what they were doing, and I have never looked back. It was a really great decision, I think.
Do you have to go to where, excuse me, my voice is like cracking. Do you have to go to where they are, or are you having them come to you?
Nope, we do it all in my studio, which is great because I'm familiar with my machine. It's familiar surroundings. It's just a lot more comfortable for me, and I get a lot less freaked out before we start filming because there's a lot to freak out about. There's so much that can go wrong. The dogs bark, the kids come running in, the doorbell rings. It's nice to film at your own house because then you just feel so comfortable and secure in your surroundings. But
yeah,
I've done the filming.
I've done the filming where the doorbell rings. You know, you have to like start over because.
Oops, let's try and get that again. And, you know, there's already going to be enough starting over because you realize that the shot isn't as clear as you want or the videographer didn't understand what it was that you wanted him to show. So he was busy filming something else while you were busy doing something else. And, you know, you have enough do-overs as there is without having to have the doorbell do over as well. But like I said earlier, it's surprising how much work there is. You have to write a script. You have to figure out, can I show this best doing it hands-on on the machine, or is it best if I show a photograph and do a voiceover and add some graphic arrows to show you exactly where to look while I'm showing this picture? There's a lot of planning, and film time takes quite a bit of time as well. We usually, for a two-hour DVD, we film 2 or 3 4-to-5-hour segments and then edit it down from there. And then there's voiceover work and authoring and artwork and everything else. So there's quite a bit of planning and development that goes into each one of the DVDs.
Yeah, I really think that you sort of hit it on the nail when you said because you've done reviews before, you spend a lot of time analyzing what looked good and what was working for people. For you, at least, and built something that's quality.
Yep, and there's also a lot of figuring out how, especially the way that I do my DVDs, because I'm taking a class and turning it into a DVD. It can be challenging sometimes because, as you know, with any successful class, there's a lot of interaction going on between the teacher and the students. A student will ask a question, and it's a great question, and that makes another student go, oh, well, I have this question, and it really helps the class move along. And when you're doing a DVD, you don't have that audience to help pull the information out of you. So you have to stop and think, okay, well, how am I going to give the viewer this information without having people here to help pull the information out? So you do just have to do a little bit of planning.
Right, and I would think that because of your level of teaching and because you actually did DVDs on your specialty, that you could draw on your classroom experience a lot.
I do. I really do. I stop and think about, okay, normally at this point in the class, a student will ask this question, which leads us into this topic. So I do draw a lot on what I know that a student would ask if we were in the classroom. And then I just have to figure out how to naturally segue into that information, you know, without making it look too scripted and too planned.
Right, right. You know, what would you recommend to people who are learning from a DVD? Because, you know, possibly they want to take your workshop, but they can't, you know, come to visit you. They can't be where you are for whatever reason. How would they best use video to learn from if it's sort of the beginner one?
I think that it's when you're a beginner, it's really smart to do a little bit of research, look to see who's the best in the industry at teaching beginners, and then get those DVDs, plan to spend some time that is uninterrupted, time that you can just sit down, watch the video, pause it if you want to, and go and try what the teacher is showing you on your own machine. Maybe if she's drawing something, pause and draw it yourself. That way, if you need to back up and play it over a couple of times, you can do so without any interruption. There are a number of really good beginning DVDs out there, and I think that people learn so much when they're at home and relaxed. Mm-hmm. And they don't have that craziness of the show going on around them. They're just sitting there in their sweatpants, watching TV, feeling comfortable and soaking up information. And it's also, I think, a lot more affordable way to learn, especially for the beginner, because you've already just shelled out a whole bunch of money buying all of your equipment, and maybe you don't have enough money left to go to a quilt show now. So it's an affordable way for you to get those same classes that you would have gotten at the show for less money.
So have you also explored like the YouTube or at least gone out and looked at them? Because they're often like little short segments. Have you looked around in that environment much?
You know, I did a little bit of poking around on YouTube. I think YouTube's great. There's so much information that you can find on YouTube.
Right.
But I started thinking that, you know, if I put everything on YouTube, I'm not going to have much left to put on my DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the way that I teach, I like to have the time available to really fully explain and explore a subject.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do that on a 2-hour DVD in a way that I can't do in a 3-minute YouTube clip.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can,
more depth.
I can give you better and more information in a longer period of time than I can on a little clip, even though it's cheaper for you to watch YouTube.
Well, I think they should be watching you on your DVDs because they're amazing. Now, Kim, tell me real quick, do you have like a funny story you could tell us from taping before we do a break?
God, Pat, you wouldn't believe what a dork I am. Okay, have you seen the movie The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Okay, you know when the guy says, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare mm-hmm. to die." And you know he says that over and over. Okay,
yeah.
We were filming my first DVD. And the first thing that we were filming was the introductory segment, which is a really bad idea. Never, ever film your intro first because you're so nervous. So I'm standing there, and I'm all standing up straight and, you know, head up, shoulders back, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to say, "Hello, my name is Kim Bruner, and this is my DVD." All I could think of was, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father." And I just kept laughing. We had to do probably 15 takes just to get me to say, "Hello, my name is Kim Bruner," without laughing. And I'm sure my video guy was thinking, "This is the worst job I've ever had in my life." But he stuck around and we finished the job, so it must not have been too bad.
No, no. He needed you to pay him. That's why he stuck around, Kim. You know?
Yeah. You're right. Pay him for the 15 takes on me saying, "Hello, this is my name."
Oh, my
God.
But
it was kind of funny. And I got over the nervousness and we were okay after that.
You know, and you sort of need that icebreaker a bit, too, at times, you know, to have fun with it. And then you get relaxed, don't you? So you're natural.
Yes. Yep. Once you get past the panic that sets in when the, you know, you think you're going to be okay. And then the video guy stands there and goes, "Okay, we're going to be live in 3, 2, 1, and then he points at you and the little red light goes on in the camera and you forget everything you've ever known in your entire life. And you just stand there gasping like a deer in the headlights of an oncoming car. So there is a lot of nervousness and you do need to just get past that initial wow factor and then just think, you know what, it's me and the camera and I know what I'm doing and I'm fine. So,
well, we're going to take a little break, Kim, and we'll be right back with more American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Sounds good.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hi, we're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm talking with Kim Bruner. And Kim, you and I, or actually you, discovered that we are going to be going to the same convention in July.
We are. And are you as excited as I am?
Oh, I am. I am. We are going to be at the International Quilt Convention in Africa. We'll be in Johannesburg at the end of July. And you can see and read all about it at their website, iqcafrica.nig.com. Or you can just go to my blog and you can find it from there. Now, Kim, tell me who you're going with.
I'm going to be going with Handy Quilter. I am one of their ambassadors, which
Yay.
Means that I'm not a dealer or an educator. I'm just someone who uses their machine and is happy to tell everybody how very happy I am with my machine.
Wonderful. And I'm teaching. So I will be in a classroom and I will have, do book signings and then be available to meet the quilters of Africa, which I think is just, I'm just so excited about that.
Oh, me too. I'm going to be doing some presentations, I guess, each day. And I'm so excited to be just offering everything that I know to them, because I think that I'm under the impression that this is the first big show that they've ever had down there. And I'm thinking, you know, that means pretty excited quilters are going to be waiting for us, Pat.
I think so. I think they have a big guild show that they do, but this is run at a slightly different level with a, mm-hmm. more of a corporate type of show. So mm-hmm. it does have a different level of teachers being there and vendors and stuff. So, yeah, we are going to have a lot of fun. We better bring our credit cards.
Yeah, and our cameras.
Yes,
lots
yes,
of cameras.
Exactly. Now, let's talk a little bit of learning. You write an expert column where people, you answer questions about quilting, and you actually just have that on your blog now, which is people can get to from your website, kimmyquilt.com. Tell me a little bit about that section of your blog.
Well, my blog's address is A Fabric Playground, all one word, afabricplayground.blogspot.com. And I have numerous tutorials and snippets from my past columns and links to shows and links to all sorts of stuff on the blog. It's all free. It's all readily available to anyone who wants to visit. And the links that I have to past columns are some of the most popular columns that I've written, questions that people ask over and over and over again. And I thought, instead of answering questions, the same question again and again, I might as well just post it on the blog and say, look, go here and you'll find everything that you need.
That's brilliant. Just brilliant. People will be out there now. You're just going to crash your site,
Don't crash my site, you guys.
Yeah, no, go slowly. Crashing. Take turns. Yes. So why don't you, we talked a little bit about sharing some of the most important things that people like to learn about or maybe most important they have questions on. And we sort of have like a top four or five or so items. Why don't you get started with loading your quilt? That seems to be, because we're talking long arms, so.
Yep, that is the most important thing that you can do to get your finished quilt to come off nicely is to take the time to put it on correctly. Mm-hmm. When we piece our quilts, we do a lot of pressing and we use seam, and sometimes the fabric is cut on the bias, and sometimes mm-hmm. the seam allowances aren't quite what they ought to be, and you can end up with a finished piece top that really isn't straight. Maybe it doesn't have square corners. Maybe some of the quilts are a little bit poofy or the sashing strips aren't quite straight. You can fix a lot of those problems while quilting if mm-hmm. you've taken the time to put the quilt on properly in the first place. And again, if you go to my blog, there is step-by-step directions. You just click the link that says properly loading your quilt. There are pictures and everything that will show you exactly how to get that quilt on there straight so that you can keep it straight as you work through it and end up with a finished quilt that will either lay flat on your bed or hang flat on your wall, have nice square corners, nice straight sashing strips and seam lines, everything that you had envisioned that your quilt would have while you were working so hard to piece it. And again, I cannot emphasize enough how important that is. It only takes maybe an extra 5 minutes per quilt,
right,
and it makes all the difference in the world.
And I know that a very talented long armor can fix those slightly out of skew quilts. And this is probably what your tips are about, is how they do it. Because I've sent one of two of those in my lifetime to somebody.
Well, and we can work wonders, but just remember that, you know, that magical pixie dust attachment on the quilting machine is awfully expensive, and most of us don't have one, so please try to remain calm. If you hand me a train wreck, I will do my best to make it not be a train wreck, but really, I'm not a magician. But yes, we can fix something.
Yeah, and things that aren't too bad, because, you know, obviously then you should maybe be taking off those wavy borders before you try to load it.
And, you know, sometimes nobody likes to have to take borders off and reattach them, but, you know, sometimes it is just best. Just take it off, chop off the extra 16 inches in length, put it back on the right way, and then try quilting it from there. But nobody likes to do it, but nobody likes to tear their hair out either. So sometimes you just have to reassemble.
That's right. Breathe deep.
The second thing that I get asked most often about is thread. And I think that, you know, you and I talked about batting one of the last times that I was visiting with you. And thread, next to your batting, thread is, I would say, of equal importance. If you're going to quilt a quilt, you have to make sure that the thread you choose is going to stand up to the use that your quilt is going to get. Let's say you've made a quilt for a little boy. You know that quilt is going to get dragged through the backyard and rolled on and used really hard, and it's going to go through the wash a million times. So you need to make sure that you are not putting a fragile specialty thread on there, because it's not going to live up to the quilt. And there's no point in piecing a quilt carefully and doing all the work needed to get that quilt put together just to have it fall apart because all of your stitching seams popped and unraveled. In that case, you need to be using either a poly thread or a nice, strong, cotton-wrapped poly that will withstand all the use that it's going to get. Also, you need to think about things like color fastness, because if you make a beautiful red and white quilt and you piece it in red thread and you put it on your bed and your dog jumps up with dirty feet and you have to throw it in the wash, the last thing you want is for your white background fabric to turn pink because you didn't check to make sure that your thread was color fast. And now it ran red dye all over the place.
Yes.
So you need to just think about what it is that you're putting on there and make sure that everything is going to play together nicely and give you a successful quilt.
Do you, just a quick aside, do you find that thread themselves need tested like a red thread, or is that pretty solid to work with?
I'm sorry, can you restate that question?
Yeah.
I did not understand
what you're asking. Would you ever test to be sure your thread doesn't bleed, the thread itself?
Yes, absolutely. If I am in any doubt at all, I will take a white hand towel or washcloth. I will get my thread wet, and I'll lay it on that white towel or washcloth, and I'll just see what happens. Do I end up with a big pink puddle, or does it stay nice and white? Because if there's going to be a problem, I want to know about the problem before I put in 3,000 yards of thread on that quilt.
Right. Wow.
I want to make sure that if it's going to be wrong, it needs to be wrong before I start quilting with it.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people test their thread. I don't know, like your everyday quilter, you know, maybe the professionals do who will quilt for other people. But, you know, those of us at quilting at home, it's probably not something we often think of.
And you should, because you will realize the importance of pre-testing the first time you pull that quilt on the wash and find that it's run all over the place. It only takes a minute. It just takes a minute to do the pre-testing and make sure that it's the right product for the use that you're going to put it to.
Now, another thing is tension. And tension on long arms is just part of the job of using a long arm, but there's tips and tricks that you have.
Yep. One of the most important things that you can remember, and one of the biggest mistakes that beginner quilters make, is not applying even and consistent tension to the top and bottom layers of the quilt when they have it on their machine. They crank the roller on the backing really, really tight, and maybe they don't crank the top quite as tight, and then they take the quilt off the machine and they wonder why the top is curling to the back. Mm. And it's because fabric has memory. You mm-hmm. can stretch the living daylights out of it, and it will stay put while it's on the machine and while tension is being applied to it by the rollers and the leaders. But the minute you take it off the machine and release that tension, it's going to spring right back to where it was, and it's going to take the rest of the quilt with it. So you need to pay a lot of attention to making sure that every layer of your quilt is as loose or as tight as all of the other layers. And that also goes for when you are applying your side clamps. You don't want to stretch the living daylights out of your quilt mm-hmm. with your side clamps. You just want to clamp it tightly enough so that you don't get puckers or tucks. That's all you need to worry about. I find that a lot of beginning quilters will stretch their quilts almost like trampolines, and then mm-hmm. they wonder why there's stitches are skipping, and they wonder why the quilt is all curly when it comes off the machine. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, you need to have that quilt tight enough to avoid puckers, but loose enough that you can stick your finger up from underneath the quilt through the layers of the quilt and grab that with your hand on top. Mm-hmm. So it's, mm-hmm. your quilt should be a little bit floppier than you think it should be. And then you will end up having great tension, no puckers, no skip stitches, everything will be fine.
Neat. Yeah, these are just great tips, Kim. Just
thank
wow.
you.
Okay, I think we had another one on marking, talking about marking, which this is the same. I'm assuming that we called our domestic machines. What you're telling us will work there, too, for marking.
Mm-hmm. Yep, marking is marking, regardless mm-hmm. of how you're going to do the quilting. Mm-hmm. My favorite way to mark is using El Cheapo White Blackboard Chalk. Because it goes on easily and it comes off easily. Mm-hmm. The last thing that I want to do is to do a beautiful quilting job and then find that I can't get my marks out because that ruins the look of the quilt.
Yeah.
So I'm
scary.
It's very scary. And we've all heard those horrible tales of people using blue washout marker and then not properly removing the marks and having them come back maybe a year later as olive green shadowy marks behind their quilting lines. Mm-hmm. You just don't want that to happen because it'll wreck your quilt and you'll be very unhappy. Mm-hmm. So I use the white blackboard chalk and I sharpen mm-hmm. it with an eye makeup sharpener, your eye pencil sharpeners, and I just draw on my lines and quilt right over them, and then I whisk away that chalk with those little microfiber dusting cloths that work so well when we're dusting.
Cool tip.
Almost like little vacuum cleaners. They just suck that chalk right out of there, and you never see it again.
I was going to say, this has been great because we're done for the day. It's been amazing.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad that you found me useful again. I'm glad of service.
Well, we'll have to have you back, okay?
Well, thank you very much, Pat. I hope that you have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you in Africa.
Okay. This has been American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll see you here next week for all new show.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.